Recording is on.
All right. I'd like to welcome everyone out to tonight's town council meeting. It's strange not having a town council work session. It's already dark, so welcome to fall. We'll start tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, first item for tonight's meeting is to elect a mayor from the council for the next four meetings. And it is open to the council for a motion or nomination.
The motion to nominate Chad Slott as our mayor for the remainder of the year.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? Jeff?
No.
Oh,
Ryan? No.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I'm willing to do that. I appreciate that. Then, anyone in the public have any comments? Back to the table.
Last question.
Question's been called for. This is weird saying, but all those in favor of Travis Watt as the mayor through the rest of the 2025 year, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you very much. We will move on to public comment. This chance for anyone to share anything that they have on their mind that's not related to an agenda item later in the meeting. And we'd ask you to come up to the podium, state your name for the record, and share with us what's on your mind. If you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand function and we will get to you at the proper due time. Is anyone like to come up and offer a public comment at this time? Does anyone like to offer any public comment at this time? I don't see any hands. We'll go now to council comments. At least we'll start with you. Go around and take any council comments for tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, on behalf of my grandchildren and people who went all out on Thanksgiving, thank you. Some of those places were fairly well received by the kids. But you can do it for Thanksgiving too.
Keep right.
Nope.
Yeah, this town kills them when it comes to Halloween. Very fun. So, thank you, Jeff. I also, Pat Hurt, many you know, Jerry Yetter passed away last week. I believe he was 94. Jerry, do you know?
I think 96.
Okay, I heard
96. Yeah.
So, long time resident.
Long time resident.
Yeah.
He used to teach hunter safety. I took hunter safety from when I was 11 years old. They used to own the property, which is now Stennis, is where he grew up. Yeah. And son, Sonny, I think his daughter is Willow.
It'll always be Edder's place, no matter what.
No matter what happens.
Yeah. All right. We'll move on now to the Treasurer's and Securities Report.
Treasurer's and Securities Report is posted in the Finance Department.
We have one item on the purchase order. It's the 7008 that touches courts for pickleball courts and venting in the amount of $36,815. What is the pleasure of the council?
The motion we approve purchase order 7008 Posh courts for pickleball courts and fences in the amount of $36,815.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Do you have any comments or questions?
Katie, what is the contribution to that? I mean, what is our obligation to that $37,000?
So they're still collecting donations at this point. But they're over 25,000 right now. They still have a couple more donors to collect from. So we don't have a final number from them yet. They're still going to keep trying to collect until we do this. But we wanted to go ahead and get this purchase order done so we can sign a contract with them for them to come get this done. But
and we don't have a maximum or a minimum amount that we're going to contribute.
We have $14,000 budgeted from the towns.
Thank you.
Yes.
And it is scheduled for spring as soon as the weather is conducive.
Doing it.
I'm gonna say this is great to see. Thanks, everybody, for
your Brian. No. Question, John. Maybe you don't know, but is what other work needs to be done, like additional asphalt, tearing out
roads? So we're putting two courts in. Okay. For what we have, it would take additional asphalt to add more courts. There are four courts.
There's enough right now
to do two. And that's what this money is doing, is two pickleball courts.
Okay.
We have to have to add asphalt and everything else we're doing.
Okay. Very good. Awesome. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions? Back to the table.
Call for questions.
Questions been called for. All those in favor of approving purchase order 7008, Cosh Courts. For an amount of $36,015, please say aye.
Aye.
Yes, aye. Thank you. Appreciate your work on all that and everyone who's been involved. That'll make a lot of people happy when they're returning the spring. All right. Next item is the claims for tonight in the amount of $108,377.98. What is the pleasure of the council?
To make a motion to approve the claims in an amount of $108,377.98.
That's right.
It has been moved and seconded. Anyone have any comments or questions?
No.
I got one. Katie for you on 52937. Vacation races, it has three different ones. I'm not sure if that's three different ones or it's just a triplicate.
No, so they finally paid up their resort tax for all those races. Correct. Oh. And they have some new, I don't want to say ownership, but I think new managers for those races, and they realized, and so anyways, we got all caught up for those years as well.
All right. Thank you. Anyone in the obligation? Do you have any comments or questions? All right, back to the table.
Call for question.
Question you called for. All those in favor of approving the claims, the amount of $108,377.98, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Thank you. No business license applications tonight. The next item is our minutes from our October 21st, 2025 town council meeting. What is the pleasure of the council?
I guess I'll make a motion to approve the October 21st, 2025 town council meeting minutes.
I'll second that.
That's been moved and seconded. Anyone have any corrections or questions?
I'll make a comment. Again, I was misquoted. Ms. Griffith says she is livid and disgusted by the posts that were made by McBurney. What I said is that I was livid and disgusted by what I heard. I still to this day have not even viewed the posts made by Jeff McBurney. So.
Did you catch that?
I did.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Anyone else? All right. That's the public chain.
Just a correction. I just read through the minutes. Chief Groom reported that the rural resort tax will start collecting January 1st, 2026, not 2025. And there's an estimated $8 million in revenue being generated in nightly rentals through our VRBR, through the outside the district or out in the district. So that short 3% would be generated on about $8 million in revenue coming to the resort tax district. I want to make that clear.
Wouldn't that be something?
Thank you. And I hope it wasn't my miscommunicating when I gave the report too, because I may have not clarified that, so I appreciate the correction.
Thank you. Right, anyone else? Good catch. What clarification? Back to the table.
Call for question.
Question on call for all those in favor of approving the meeting minutes from our October 21st meeting with the noted questions. Please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Yeah, we'll turn the time over to you for a report and any staff items you have for this.
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome back.
Thanks.
Good to see you. A couple of things this evening. Just want to say thank you to Michelle, Megan, and Sam at the library. We did our quarterly leadership activity a few weeks back. So every quarter, each one of our department heads leads some sort of a leadership activity. So just to kind of mix up the staff meetings, most of the time we go and we'll do a tour of the department and just get to, so everybody can learn a little bit more about the departments in a fun way. So we appreciate that we got a nice tour of the library and the library operations and the programming. And then they made an awesome breakfast, only second to the breakfast burritos we got at the public workshop. So looking forward to that again, Johnny.
Great.
So yeah, I think I was talking to you this week, Jeff, about the library.
I was talking to you about it.
You were talking to me about the library, but it was a conversation, yes. And I think we both agreed that we have such a really amazing library here for a small town, so some would be proud. So just thank you to them. They do such a great job over there, so appreciate them. I had a talk with Jackie Hands. She's on the Gallatin County Study Commission. She was just kind of trying to get some ideas to get more feedback from this side of the county on their work with the study commission. So I think I told her that the holidays get really busy. So I think they're trying to aim to do some sort of a listening session after the first of the year. I think they're going to come out to us. And so I'll keep posted once that gets decided. The West Yellowstone Housing Coalition met the 27th of October. John Brown gave an update on the status of the wastewater plant. And we talked a little bit about 80 acres infrastructure. We got a briefing of the Gibbon Co-op. We also talked about the survey, the housing survey. We're still looking. I know everybody, you know, we get a lot of feedback that people are surveyed out, but it's important that we get good data so that we are giving good data to developers and giving the council data that they need to make good decisions. So I know that people may get tired of doing surveys, but to take the 5 minutes to get the feedback is important. Brittany also put together one in Spanish this week, so we've got a Spanish version that was sent out on social media this week. The survey is closed on the 21st of November. And then the Housing Coalition is also planning on hosting the housing forums similar to the ones they held last winter. So they're trying to get some programming. They were really well attended. I think they averaged around 65 people per session last year. So I think they were valuable sessions for the community. So we're hoping to bring that back. I attended along with Mayor Watt and Councilor Griffith and Matthews the town hall with Gordon Newman and Lana Griffith last week. Was also well attended. There was about 20 to 25 people. At the in attendance, I did thank them. They did support the town with three legislative items that had direct positive effect on West Yellowstone. The first was the change to the water rights perfection deadline, Senate Bill 537, the historic preservation grant funding, which we got $300,000 for the dining hall, which was HB 12. And then they also put housing funding for the Board of Investments, which is HB 505, and that was the fund that the Gibbon Co-op was able to access. We also heard from the school district, the community foundation, and representative from the fire department. There was questions to the community regarding resort tax, mental health resources, built funding for public safety, and then expanding the mobile DMV services that have been really popular when they come down.
And then I also provided, Cora and Alana just with some important issues for the town, just they're thinking about for the next legislative session. So I just want to say thank you to them, and then also to Kayla Wilson for coordinating the meeting. We have received 3 submissions from firms for the Parks Master Plan. So we'll probably be reviewing those in the next week or so, and then giving some guidance to the park board to do interviews for those, and then those will come to the town council for final selection. We also have 2 interviews scheduled for the next 2 weeks for rec director and then equipment operator for the public works. And then we are kind of working on closing out the work session schedule for the rest of the week, or rest of the month, year. Yes, the year. So I think we're planning on doing an SFP review. Kyle is, and I think maybe Scott will help with that, and I, an 80 acres update, just kind of the work of the infrastructure committee and some of the things that have been done concerning the 80 acres. And then I've asked Dave and Camille to come down and just give us kind of an update on the wastewater treatment plant. And that's all I have this evening.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone on the council have any questions?
No.
Good. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Do we have any advisory board meetings last couple of weeks? Well, 2 weeks. Not really, but there was for that. All right. Before I move on to new business, I should have made this note earlier. Today's election day, and we have the ballot here. If you haven't already done that, and we may have people coming in, and Katie will check them in. They have to sign with their ballot in there. So if you see some folks coming, don't cheer them on. Just know what's going on, so it's not disruptive. If we're here through 8 o'clock, then we very well could be about 8 o'clock. Someone's supposed to come with a change of the guard. And so we will probably during that time call for a short recess just to be able to handle some administrative stuff staff has to do to turn that over to the elections office. And so just kind of be aware of that's going on in the site, especially if you're on Zoom and you keep seeing things going on in the background. Probably good to know what's going on. So apologize, I didn't mention that earlier. All right, we'll move on to new business. The first item, the last meeting, it was moved to put on the agenda for tonight, the censure of Jeff McBurney. So we'll go to the council. What is the pleasure of the council?
I would suggest we table this to the next meeting. He's still on the ballot, could possibly be elected for the term starting January 1, but given that he has resigned, I think we should at least wait till the next meeting to see what transpires in the election to help us decide what we feel we want to do.
One second.
One second. Any discussion?
I'd like the legal advice on that. Where do we stand?
Pardon me?
Where do we stand if we take?
First of all, I don't know that you can have discussion on a motion to table, but you'd be in the same position at the next meeting as you are now.
Does that help at all? Does that help at all?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So it's been moved and seconded to table this to our next meeting. Call for a vote. All those in favor of tabling to our next meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Chair votes nay. That passes, so we'll take the next meeting. All right. Thank you. All right. The next item is the procedure to appoint a new town council member through the end of the year. Turn this over to Jane or Liz Hoyer and town clerk. We'll stand on policy 41. Everyone kind of knows what we're doing, and then we'll go from there.
So policy 41, there is a copy of it in your packet. I'm sure you all read through it with a fine tooth comb and know exactly what the process is going to be. But the way I read it is that Because the vacancy in office occurred before the election, then we're looking under subsection 1 and 2. So the vacancy occurred before the election. More than 6 months have passed since the most recent town council election. So we go then to the middle of subsection 2, which says if those two things have happened, then the clerk will post a notice of the vacancy at the town offices, and then we'll advertise the vacancy. And then it sets out that the applicants will then, when they submit their applications, the application will go to the council. There's some provisions in here for the council then to pick the ones they want to interview. I would suggest that we bypass that and just interview all of the applicants, probably on October 18th. That's what I meant. Yeah, next October. On November 18th, probably like in a work session first and then have it on the regular council agenda as an action item. So that's my suggestion, and I don't know how that works for them. Liz will, I guess, give me her thoughts on timing and what needs to be done. So
basically, we have 3 meetings left.
Mm-hmm.
1 meeting where all we're doing is coming in and signing the claims list.
Mm-hmm.
So can we make the interviews on January 1st?
No, because that's the past the 30-day time limit that's set out in the statute and the charter and this policy. But
we have to fill it within 30 days?
Yes, 30 days of the date of resignation. So before November 22nd, because the resignation was October 2nd.
And just to continue the existing term.
Right.
2 months.
Liz, do you have Jane referenced a timeline of how you see that might work? Can you share that with us?
Yeah, well, what we discussed today is, so I would post a notice like tomorrow, and then we would take letters of interest along with an application. I think through the 10th is the date that we thought would work, because it says the council needs a week to review it. And since the 11th is a holiday, so we would probably take applications through 5 p.m. on the 10th and try to send them out to the council. And we would conduct the interview process prior to the meeting on the 18th, and then we would make an appointment as a meeting. James suggested skipping through that part about narrowing it down to 3 candidates or any application to get at least 3. But there's a lot of detail in this policy that we should probably just consider all.
Okay. Yeah, so this is, we have this for discussion just for everyone else, because we just got to make sure we do something by the next meeting. Yeah, please.
Jane, your interpretation that we have to, that we can't, okay, let's start over. When I read it, maybe just for background, I was reading what was in our town packet, reference to the town charter. I read it that the town had to fill the vacancy within 30 days. And I was thinking the easiest, most practical way of doing so in compliance with this language would be for us to table this for the next meeting, which is the 18th, and then at that meeting we would follow the first procedural
because the general election would have
today
is an election, not a general election, but it's
in the it would be within 30 days. Is there something a statute or other thing that tells us otherwise?
Right. So the charter and this policy and the statute, which is at 7-4-4112.
Okay.
says that the council shall appoint a person within 30 days of the vacancy of office. And that was October 22nd. Well, so you're required by law to make an appointment within 30 days.
So can't we do that at our next meeting, which would be within 30 days? And then we would have had a recent...
The resignation came in before the election.
But does that matter?
I do think it matters, yes.
So what language are you looking at? Just curious, because that's not how I read it. When I looked at the charter language that was put in that.
Okay, so... You get to it.
Is it the MCA?
Right. So no, so the MCA doesn't have any of this other language in it, which another recommendation might be to revise this policy because it's not exactly what the statute says. The statute doesn't have all the administrative terms in it, right? It just says pending an election and qualification, the council shall by majority vote of the members appoint a person within 30 days of the vacancy of office. The vacancy of office was October 22nd. Right? More than 6 months. So then it says the vacancy shall be offered to the first runner up in the most recent town council election. But the most recent town council election before the resignation,
is that what it
before
says?
Before the vacancy was in 2023.
So is that what it says at the most recent election before the vacancy or?
It says the vacancy shall be offered to the first runner-up in the most recent town council election. But it's got to be before the vacancy. Otherwise, I mean, this whole policy is what you do after an office becomes vacant. So I understand. I see what you're saying, but I disagree. I think the most recent town council election would have been in 2023.
Okay.
So then
I just interpreted it otherwise as When we are taking steps to fill the vacancy within 30 days, whatever that point in time is within 30 days, then we can follow the procedures. But if we fail otherwise, it just seems really complicated. Otherwise,
it seems less complicated to me to do it the way that to just go by the date of the office became vacant. And go from there and not try to bump it down the road in order to shoehorn in today's election.
I just thought it would be consistent with the policy and allow more continuity to have whoever the next newest council member starting January 1st would just, you know, begin their term early.
They can apply.
Right. Well, anyways, that's... That's fine. I just wanted to hear from you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your insight. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any questions or thoughts? You guys have nodded ahead. Okay, with going forward with the way the clerk has kind of laid that out.
So that'll be enough. Some of the next council meeting.
Yes. So you should be getting you'll be getting the applications by November 10th. And then you have a week to review them. And then we'll have interviews on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you have that on the 18th. That's the next council.
Mm-hmm.
And the continuity, as Lisa mentioned, would be nice. If the person, whoever that lucky person is that's going to be there, signs up for them. If not, if you want a really short term, a volunteer position with the town with a definite ending date. That's a good one. All right. Everyone good with that?
Yeah.
Liz, you good with that?
Yes. So I'll put a notice out tomorrow.
Awesome. So we know at least part of our work session for next meeting. Good. Awesome. Thank you very much. Thanks for sharing with that. The timing's a little clunky, I think, for everything. So
we'll
get through
it. The last time we did that, it wasn't a work session. It was... We had a meeting at noon or something. We all sat around and discussed it. Hmm?
We interviewed him the night before.
Yeah.
The night of the meeting.
Oh, it was the night of
the
meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then you made a choice.
I don't make a choice.
Something nice. Man, Joyce, he's still with us, Jeff. All right. Very good. All right. We'll move on to the next item. Thank you so much for that. Next one, we have a public hearing. This is for variance request for CWH Montana, 124 North Electric Street. We're going to turn the time over to Scott Hazleton, our planner. He's online to kind of give us some history. There's a lot going on here, so he's going to kind of lay that out for everybody to have a little bit better understanding, and then we'll turn that over for some public comments after Scott's done.
Mr. Mayor, could you read the public hearing notice?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. I will have it for me. Town of Rochelle's on public hearing variance request, parking requirements at 124 North Electric Street. Notice is hereby given that the town of Rochelle Town Council, serving as the Board of Adjustments, will conduct a public hearing November 4th, 2025 at Rochelle Town Hall virtually by Zoom. The purpose of the public hearing will be to consider variance request from Section 1739040C 1737100E and 1737110 of the West Yellowstone Municipal Code, made by CWH Montana LLC for 124 North Electric Street, a lodging property commonly known as Sleepy Hollow. The property is located in the B3 Central Business District of the town of West Yellowstone. The request is to allow three variances, reestablishing the property's legal non-conforming status, a reduction of the total number of required parking spaces, and a waiver of the requirement that 80% of parking spaces be located on-site for a hotel. The public hearing will be held in a regular county council meeting, which begins at 7 p.m. The meeting will take place in West Yellowstone, at which time oral testimony will be taken from the public in person, in writing, or by Zoom. Written testimony may be submitted until 5 o'clock on the date of the hearing by mail or by email to info@townwestyellowstone.com. Further information, contact town clerk. And we are here now. All right. Scott, we'll turn it over to you.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, council members. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. So, yes, this evening we have three variance requests, all aimed at addressing the parking issues located at 124 North Electric, commonly known as Sleepy Hollow. So Sleepy Hollow is a kind of cabinet hotel motel kind of a use that was built in the 50s, in the 1950s. And so the original structures predated zoning. The property operated in West Yellowstone as a non-conforming use for many years. Up until recently, the buildings have sort of fallen into disrepair. There have been some sewer issues. The properties were not used as a hotel, and their business license expired in 2023, I believe, is the year that they expired. And so the property was purchased by Ryan Callahan, who is a member of CWH Montana LLC, to rehabilitate and reopen the Sleepy Hollow Motel. So the variances, there are three of them. They're all aimed at the same issue of parking requirements on the property. And so while there are basically three options that all independently would satisfy the issues on the site. So granting of any one of the variances would allow the applicant to move forward with their request at this time. So those three requests, the first one is to reinstate their nonconformity status. What this one would do would be allow them to only rehabilitate the existing structures. The site would need to be maintained in the condition that it was when it was operating as a hotel in the past. The second variance, let me double check that I have these in the right order. So the second variance would be to reduce the amount of required parking spaces. And I do want to just clarify a couple of numbers here real quick. So there, the code requires 16 parking spaces. That's 14 for the hotel use, 2 for the residential use on the property. There's one typo I'll get to those here in just a second. Sorry. And then the third variance is a request from Section 1737110, which requires hotels and motels to have 80% of their parking provided on-site, so they could only apply for 20% of their parking through the parking in lieu program, I guess. And so I do want to clarify a couple of the numbers. We had a late amendment or some amendments to the application, so I do want to clarify where those are a little inconsistent. So on page one of the application, it says in that first paragraph under overview, it should say and two additional spaces for the proposed residential use. So that's two-thirds of the way through that first paragraph on page one. So my apologies on that. And then down in the conditions of approval, it says 14 units, and that's because that's under variance number three, condition of approval number seven. It says 14 spaces because residential uses are excluded from the parking in lieu program under 1737-120. So that's where some of the discrepancies in the numbers are, so I wanted to clarify that. And one other just quick clarification as well, kind of in the cover letter, is the fact that it says it talks about that we updated our zoning code in 2024 and that, you know, the applicant may not have been aware of those changes, but there was no changes. There were some minor changes that would not necessarily impact this application through the parking update. So we did initially have some draft language that was reviewed at the planning board level, but then subsequently the planning board level or the planning board decided that they wanted to maintain the parking as it was currently written. And so those are the three variances for the Board of Adjustments this evening. And I'm happy to walk through the criteria and give some more conversation around those or answer any questions, whatever would be most beneficial to the council. And I believe the applicant is there.
Here, by the way, I should point that out. Yeah, and we'll have to introduce each other.
Yeah,
moment, Ryan, thank you. Scott, would you go over there's the considerations to be had in granting a variance? Do you mind just going through those real quick for everybody?
Yep, I'll walk through those criteria. So the four criteria are going to be the same for all three variances. And like I said, the three variances, they're independent and distinct, and the fact that granting any one of them would alleviate the parking issues. So the four criteria you're going to be looking at are, does the physical makeup of the subject parcel present a hardship outside of the applicant's control? And so what you're looking at there is, you know, basically that is what is existing on the property causing an undue hardship on the applicant that was pre-existing to their ownership of the property. The second criteria is, does the hardship result from a lack of due diligence during the purchase period? So did the applicant simply not do the research or the work that you expected them to in acquiring the property or planning for their project? Number three, does the hardship result from proposed actions of the applicant? So does their proposed project or whatever they're looking to do create the hardship and not necessarily the undue enforcement of the regulation? So there's some sort of action from the applicant that is causing this hardship to occur. And then number four, which as you see in the staff report, this one is less, doesn't really apply to this application, is, does the variance function as a rezone of the property? And the reason that we have that in there is that it would be a better process to go through and rezone a parcel opposed to necessarily granting a residence or a variance depending on its location in town. So number four is not applicable to this variance request because parking regulations apply townwide. So there is no rezone that would alleviate this issue for the applicant. So those are the four criteria that would apply to each of the individual three variance requests from the Sleepy Hollow folks.
Thank you. Dan, anything you want to add to that?
No, I don't have anything to add at this time.
Okay. So we will, we're going to open this up.
Could you explain to those who don't understand it why this is going to a board of review as opposed to planning board?
Sure. Yeah. So in the ordinance, it says that the council will act as, and this was part of the zoning change that we did in 2024. So it says that until such time that the council appoints a, you can appoint an independent board of appeals, but that hasn't been done by the council. So that is something you can consider in the future. But until that time, the town council acts as the board of appeals. So the variance requires go directly to the board of appeals instead of being reviewed by the board. Yeah, the board of adjustments.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So we're going to go into the public hearing. A couple of things real quick. Just remember to keep comment. Come up to the podium or if you're online, raise your hand. We ask you to state your name. And then in 3 minutes or less, state your thoughts, concerns, pros or cons. And out of respect, Brian Callahan is here. I'd like to have him start and put this in and share his thoughts first. And we'll go to anyone else who'd like to do it. Now, this is a public hearing. There's no action being taken at this moment until we get through this part. So thank you. Brian, please come up.
Thank you. Am I commenting
thank
for
you
reading it. The window as well?
Oh, we might be kind to you.
Okay.
You share with us what you need to.
Okay. So I thought the podium was going to be a little low for my name, but it's good. It's a good height. So thank you guys. Thank you so much, Town Council and newly appointed mayor, for hearing this variance request. My name is Ryan Callahan. I am a small business entrepreneur who's looking to open up a hotel here in West Yellowstone over at the Sleepy Hollow. I purchased it along with a couple other partners, but they're also friends of mine, back in November of 2024. We knew there were a lot of issues at the property when we purchased it. We did a decent amount of due diligence. We'd heard about numerous sewage issues and water issues and lots of safety updates that needed to happen at the property. And we believe both through conversations with our realtor at the time, our reading of the zoning code. I have to be honest with you, I'm not some big real estate developer. I'm reading the zoning code as an amateur and trying my best to suss through it and understand what all of the various things mean. It's pretty clear code, but I'm not some big deep-pocketed out-of-town developer. I'm just a person who wants to run a small hotel with my family. So we did our best to try to best understand the condition of the property, which I feel we have done, and we've got a very good sense of what's going on there and what needs to happen. And then at the same time, we believed that we would be able to move forward on construction of the property, renovating it, bringing it back up to speed under this legal non-conforming status. We had some informal conversations with people from the town. I think people kind of thought that we were in that right zone of legal nonconforming. Nobody officially deemed it that, but we were kind of told, yeah, it seems like as long as you don't change any square footage, as long as you don't add things to the property, you know, you can keep it kind of as is, you'd be in good shape. Thanks to Scott, who has actually been incredibly helpful throughout this process. He actually called attention to this legal nonconforming, the business lapse, the 12-month business lapse, potentially leading to a loss of legal nonconforming status. And so now we're just kind of at a standstill. So we have a property that I'm sure everyone here knows needs a lot of work, needs pretty significant rehabilitation in order to come back online. And we have real no clear path forward to doing that without either alleviating the parking requirement, which is why the second two variance applications that we're asking for are related to parking, or just reinstating legal non-conforming because the property didn't have the proper parking to begin with. So without any one of those three, we really don't have a pathway forward unless there's, you know, just significant demolition of the property, which is, you know, obviously something we're trying to avoid and not something that I'm sure we're even really set up to do. So I don't know what else. I just anticipate a lot of questions. So I don't know if you want me to stand here and answer questions or let other people talk, but I really appreciate your time and look forward to having this conversation.
Thanks. So we may have, during the public hearing, we want questions. We may have one comes up for action. Okay. Make the turn to you.
So I can sit back down.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Right, thank you very much. Okay. Anyone else like to come up and share the same thoughts? Anyone online, raise your hand.
Okay.
And then once, oh, Jerry, there we go.
Yeah. My name is Jerry Johnson, resident of West Yellowstone. Nice to meet you. I have a couple questions for Scott to start with, and it could be part of my 3 minutes. I don't care. Is the lot that we're that you guys are considering, is that a full size lot? Is that a 100 by 150 lot?
Pardon?
Go ahead. It is. Okay. Because one of the reason I asked that is because one of the reasons for potential variance was that the lot wasn't, I can't remember the exact wording, but they put in there that the lot didn't work for the property. Well, it's a full size lot, it's a town lot. Has the staff notified any of the adjacent property owners of what's going on here?
No.
Okay. And Scott, could you read the considerations again that the council has to look at, please? Because I have a copy, page 4. Is that where it's at? 4 of 6.
It's actually in the zone.
That's what I thought, but. It says that in this, before the variance, you can have the Board of Adjustment.
But that's his report, but in the zone code itself, that has the criteria.
Okay.
Okay.
So I've got it. I understand that the physical makeup of the subject parcel presents a hardship outside the applicant's control. Physical makeup of the property. Is that the dirt or is that the buildings that are on the dirt? I don't need an answer. I'm just throwing that at you. That the hardship was not the result of a lack of due diligence due to the purchase of the property. That's hard to say that there wasn't a lack of due diligence. That the hardship was not resulting from applicants of the or actions of the applicant. The applicant bought it in the condition that it was in. And then you say the last one doesn't count, so I won't be. So I'm just going to say, how much time do I have left, Travis?
A minute.
Oh, shoot. This is one of the biggest decisions that you folks are going to ever have to make. You made a lot of big decisions at your time on the table, but basically this affects every property owner, commercial property owner, past, present, and future in West Yellowstone. Because there's been people that have followed this ordinance. There's been people that have gotten variances. There's been people that have bought parking spots in lieu of over the years. But if you consider variance requests 2 and 3 and just completely ignore that section of our parking ordinance, you're opening, in my opinion, a great big can of worms. You might as well then start rewriting that ordinance and say, we're not going to require long-term parking. There's a lot of ifs and buts in this whole topic. I don't think any of those should be considered. I think you should just look at the information that's in front of you. And I just want to say that after looking at the information that was given to you in Scott's report and in the zoning, that there really isn't any compelling evidence that they meet any of the 3, 4, request number 2 and number 3. There is some compelling information on request number 1, in my opinion, simply said, because the property did operate for years. I will say, as a lifelong resident of West Yellowstone, there was parking in the interior of that lot. Maybe cars were smaller, but there was parking in the interior of the lot. Miller parked in there. Clayton parked in there. Now the trees are bigger. So they're not parking there. But there was parking, and there has been changes to that property since these folks have purchased it. The interior, there has been changes made. It said that there hasn't been changes made. There has been changes made. Again, I just, that's really, really all I wanted to say was I just can't imagine that you would even consider 2 and 3, and it would be very hard to even consider number 1. But I do believe that the staff, with their knowledge and their expertise, could come up with some other alternatives rather than just these folks asking for the moon, complete wipeouts of our ordinances. There are other ways of doing it. Adjustments, variances don't have to be, that's why they call it a variance, not, oh, we're just going to get rid of this ordinance. Because we didn't get rid of that ordinance when the one horse blew up. And that was just a decision that was made by you and the zoning committee within this last year. Thanks.
Thanks, Jared. Anyone else like to come up? Anyone online want to raise their hand? Set and call. Last call, any public comment? Anyone here in the room or online? Thank you for your comments, and we will go ahead and close this public hearing. I think this might be appropriate time for that recess. Would that work? Or do we...
Yes, but we have to wait until after 8 o'clock.
Oh, we do? Okay.
Yes. Are open until 8 o'clock.
We don't need a 30-minute recess. Okay. What's that?
We take 10 minutes.
But we also don't know when that person's going to get here.
Oh, they're here. Yeah.
But they look pretty official.
Yeah. I like some hats. That's her name.
Well, I motion we take a 10-minute recess so change the guard for the voting boxes, and then we'll back in about 10 minutes when they've taken care of that, and we'll continue on. All I need is a second for this.
Oh, second. All
right. We'll go ahead and recess for 10 minutes. Everyone hang tight. If you want, you can leave. We'll stick around. Welcome. Thanks for driving down to get the boxes. So we don't want to get with Liz and get in. What you got to do to take the box out. Thank you.
Friends.
Go for Mars.
You're back on.
All right. I'd like to welcome everyone back from our short recess as we turned over the ballot box to Gallatin County election officials, and it is now on its way to Bozeman. So, forward to hearing the results. It was kind of fun, probably tomorrow's, I guess. All right, so we'll go back to the business. So we have three variance requests. These are each separate. We'll handle them separately while they are sort of tied together and have some similarities. We'll try to keep them very separate as we go through these for not only any action taken, but also discussion. Remember that we'll go through comments as appropriate and ask for comments as we go through each of these. So we will start with the first one, the variance request to reestablish not legal nonconforming status according to code 1739040C. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to approve reestablish legal nonconforming status at 124 North 11th Street.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Let's go around the table for any discussion. Brian, we'll start with you this time.
I just feel it's a very big ask. Do you want us to go through the 1 through 4?
Sure. I mean, so I guess what I would ask the council is that you state the facts that you have for the decision you're going to make. I don't know if this is the time you want to do that or if you want to have, if you have questions of the applicant or if you just want to go through that. But yeah, if you'd state your reasons for your decision, that'd be great.
Okay. So number one, I mean, it's one of the bigger lots in the town. I think removing some cabins would alleviate this issue. For number two, with the hardship for due diligence, I feel that the property owners just didn't get enough information or do enough research or even asking questions. And then number three, did the hardship result in the actions of the applicant? I would say possibly because they've already removed what little parking they actually had on the property. So to me, I don't feel like they're trying to help with the problem that I'm making it worse. And 4 is not applicable.
Okay. Jeff Matthews.
I share Brian's evaluation of certain things, but I'm appreciative of trying to improve the aesthetics, but the congestion that's down there currently and the electric speed in general for the winter time or for the summertime. Severe safety hazards already if they're currently with trying to get less. That's where I'm going with it.
Lisa.
I had a few questions at first. Scott Hazelton said the properties were not used for a hotel. I'm assuming that's for some time. How much time was that? When was it last used for a hotel?
So my understanding is that the last time it had a valid business license to be a hotel was 2023.
So it had a valid business license, but was it actually used as a hotel in 2023? I guess my question is, when was it used for a hotel last?
That I don't know.
Do we last time you have that tax from?
Well, that's what I was thinking. We could look at that, but I'm afraid that would not be accurate because there were other issues.
What were the other issues?
They didn't pay the resort tax.
Yeah.
That's right. Their previous owner should. The previous owner had four issues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so another reason probably for not approving legal non-conforming status, it sounds like. I think the intent, from what I understand, when you create new zoning ordinances and you have properties that are not in conformance with what your new zoning ordinances will be, is that eventually everything will be brought up into conformance with the current zoning code through changes of use, changes of ownership, et cetera. And it sounds like this property is a perfect example of one of those that should properly be brought up into conformance with our zoning ordinance, which was adopted after several months of hearings and work by the planning board, with opportunities for public comment. There was a lot on social media about this. This property was purchased at least a month after our zoning code was finally adopted, and it was admittedly not conformant with the prior parking requirements, and it certainly isn't in compliance as proposed for the use with our new zoning requirements. So I think that's all I really have to say on this. Thank you.
Thank you. First off, Ryan, I have to say, I love that you've purchased it and investing in the community, remodeling, making improvements, and I absolutely want to see you be successful there. That place has been here a long time, has some neat history, and it means a lot of work, and we all agree on that. Going to the hardship part of this, the first one, the physical makeup of the property as you bought it, obviously there's some challenges there, and it never had a proper parking, I think, in there. But I think number two, my feeling is, and I'm not telling you how to do the due diligence, but I think there could have been some more stuff done. I struggle with that one, that there's the things that you've done on the property, I believe, that take that out. That really falls into number three, the actions of the applicant. Not that you meant to do anything wrong, but there was some parking there. No doubt it was probably short of what was needed, in my opinion. I haven't gone through and measured. It's not my responsibility to do that. But there was parking there and has been, and I think that there could be more done on behalf of Ryan and his group to provide as much parking as is physically possible with what they have purchased and what they had to work with. And
to respond to that, or no, sorry.
In a moment.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Go ahead.
And so that's where I struggle with this. If had another thing in front of us where everything was done and we still haven't, still missing a couple of pieces, I think that for me that would be a little easier to talk about. So that's my feelings and why I would not support this at this time. So with that, we'll go to the public comment. Now, Ryan, please.
Sorry.
Come on. No, that's okay. You're fine. This is your deal. We understand that. Please come up to the podium.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Part of that is so we can hear and pick it up.
For sure.
And if you state your name again, yep. So we have that for the record. And also, because the microphone will pick up, so everyone else
can hear. Is this the thing that's moving around here?
It is. All right. Called the hour. Yeah.
All right. This is the future we're looking at here. So first off, I want to thank Jerry. I really appreciated his comments. And candidly, I agree with his points on at least two and three. We're navigating this. The thing that is holding this up on our end of moving forward is the parking issue. So we put two and three in there because we need non-conforming and we're to get around the parking. So we thought putting in the parking, that made sense. But I think the logic makes sense that if you were to say, sure, but these guys just waive their parking, then everybody's going to come and ask to have their parking waived. So I think that's very valid. And I have no opposition to that, to any of those comments on the second and third ones that we're talking about here. The first one on the legal non-conforming. So I want to speak to just kind of two things. One was about due diligence, I think you guys had valid concerns about. And then the second was, there was a comment that there was parking, there was a comment that we've taken parking away. So prior to any site work we did in the middle part of the property, we took the town's dimensions in your zoning code. You have diagrams that show how parking needs to be. You show how big the parking spaces need to be and how much room you need to be in order to get parking spaces in. As we laid that in the courtyard area, there really wasn't any way to figure out how to have conforming parking. I don't disagree. There's dirt lot in there. You could put a car in and you could backing out the alley, or you could have some kind of tight turnaround that doesn't conform with your parking requirements, but would technically be parking. So we looked at that. We said, well, we don't think we can actually make parking work in this courtyard area based on your rules within your zoning. So from there, we started doing a little bit. We did some site work. We had to do site work. To be candid, in good faith, we did the site work because it had to be done. We just couldn't risk that things are bursting, sewage is backing up. We've heard a lot of numerous issues related to that. We've had squatters on the property. There's evidence of drug use. There are all sorts of things. We were like, we need to stabilize this property a little bit before we go and go any further, even having these kinds of conversations. So I want to speak to the second part of us taking parking away. To my knowledge, we put landings up to the doors. If that's what that's in reference to, then, you know, if we were able to come to an agreement that there is legal parking that can go in there, those are gone. That's no problem. We haven't built any cabins. We haven't built any main structures. We haven't built anything to block off. A power box did get added. That's where Fall River said the power needed to go. So we really didn't have much of a choice in that issue. So I just wanted to speak to that. We didn't intentionally do anything to try to say, oh, shoot, there's no parking left because we put these things here that don't allow parking. If somebody tells me I'm wrong and that we can fit legal parking in there, and part of that step would be that we'd have to remove any of that light landscaping that we did in there, that's no problem. That's a done deal. So I just wanted to speak to that concern specifically. On the due diligence piece of it, I think we spend a good amount of time on this. What this is if a business doesn't operate for 12 months, then the non-conforming can lapse, right? When we bought the property in 2024, our understanding was it was licensed in 2023. So when we bought it, we said, you know, we're in this 12-month period. However, there's a chicken and egg problem. We can't operate the property. It's in complete disrepair. It has major significant issues going on. So candidly, I don't know what the right approach would have been there. Should we just not purchase it and then have these conversations and then gone and purchased it? Although to be frank at that point, I don't know that the property would have been purchasable if it came with a tag on it that said, hey, this property is only valuable if it gets torn down. That would have been on the seller to then have to navigate how he wanted to go about that. But I didn't want to speak to that. This wasn't like we read the code and said, wow, 12 months has passed, but we'll be able to do it anyways. At the time, we said, well, they were licensed in 2023, it's 2024, but within 12 months, we got to buy this thing. And to be honest, I think we felt that between talking to our realtors, having informal conversations with members of the town, and being within the 12 months once we purchased it, that sufficed for our due diligence. So if I'm being honest, I don't recall if there are any other questions that you guys had. And you had a specific question, but I wonder if I've spoken to it or not.
Oh, I was just curious, Mr. Lennon is actually used.
Oh, right.
As a hotel,
and I can give you a little
differentiated
bit
from having a business license, whether it was actually used. And then
I can give you anecdotal color on that. My understanding is they maintain a license, and they just operated in varying degrees. Maybe they had a couple rooms open, maybe not. If you go and read reviews, somebody says, I rented a room here, nobody ever showed up, you know, but I was able to book it online. And then another one says, I was here, but then the person, like, it was not operating very well, but it seems that it was operating to some extent up until 2023. But I can't tell you when the last date was that a person checked out of that hotel. So, I think that's it. I appreciate Jerry. I really do appreciate the comments. I appreciate the council's thoughts on this. And one final comment. Ryan, I think you mentioned, or one of you mentioned, that, you know, it's a big enough lot, just tear some buildings down. Sure, that technically is an approach, is that we could demolish some of the property. I think from a historic standpoint, we'd be a little disappointed to have to see some of the property go away. And then that would create financial hardship on the project itself, that we would be turning in rentable, revenue producing, tax producing, job producing square footage into asphalt parking spaces. So I do understand that point, but that would be a financial hardship on us that I'm not sure that we could overcome. So just wanted to say that. Is that everything?
You good?
Can I go back down now? All right.
Thank you so much.
Call me back up again.
We'll turn the time over to anyone else in the public. Jan, please.
I'm going to have to stand up and I'm on Zoom. I have to work harder when I come up here. Do I have to say who Jan is?
Yes, please.
Okay. Please clarify for me, because I can't call it to mind exactly right now, what nullifies the non-conforming status? I thought it was the change of use, but it stays, it's still there when the property sold, is it? But I need clarification on what really nullifies it. He mentioned something about 12 months. I've never heard that before. So that's my question.
Go ahead then. So the non-conformity will run with the property, and it does, if you change property owners, it runs with the property owner. It's the lapse in the use that creates, that's the issue, is the 12-month lapse in the use.
Oh, so not a change of use. Well, it's both, right? Change.
It's just if there's a lapse of use. That's
Non-use.
Non-use.
That creates, that's when the non-conformity needs to come into compliance. So if it's continually used, they can use it. There are certain things that they can do to the property. They can't expand the nonconformity, but they can paint it. They can make new windows. They can do those types of improvements, but they can't expand the nonconformity.
Okay. And that's my time
on that. No, so it's right. It's in section 17.39 of our zone code.
Okay.
It sets out nonconforming lots, uses, and structures.
Say that again, 17.1.
Yeah, 17.39.
Sound like that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jenny. Anyone else like to come on up or raise your hand online?
I get trying some up here on me tonight.
Yes.
So I get a sense that there's not a flavor for specifically for the establishing a legal nonconformity, and I'd probably be along those lines as well. I think it's sort of a stretch, but if that's the way that the council is going to move on this, I might suggest that if the applicant is willing, to look at some other options to maybe minimize the variances for the other two, and then have us work with staff and see if we can't come up with something that may minimize those variances that's a little bit more palatable. I think we can do that and maybe bring something back. That's just a suggestion tonight. So just something to chew on. And if Ryan's willing to do that, we want to table it. The other two, I'm not suggesting for the first one. I figure you guys need to do what you need to do on that one. But if it's not going to pass, that would be my suggestion, is maybe we can work with them to figure out a way. Because in my opinion, it's a pretty big ask, and I had that conversation with Ryan, and I think we talked through the process about that. But if there is a way to find a solution that is workable and that sort of minimizes the variance, that's a little bit more palatable for the council. I mean, I think we're willing to explore that with the applicant if that's the way they're going to go. So that's what I'll say.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. One last time, anyone in the public? It's back to the table.
Call for question.
Question's been called for. All those in favor of approving the variance request to establish legal non-conforming status, according to Code 17.39.040C, please say aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
Nay. All right. Thank you. All right. Number two, the variance request, total parking requirement. I've read my notes. Code 17.37.100 feet. What is the pleasure of the council?
I'll make a motion to table it and visit with staff on the solution.
I'll second that.
Okay. Been moved and seconded to table that. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
All right. And number three, variance request on site parking percentage according to Code 17.37.110. What is the flavor of the council?
I'll make a motion to table it and visit with staff on the solution.
We're going to second it.
Been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Any opposed?
Nay.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate everyone's comments. Brian, thank you for being here. Give you a little direction to the work with staff and see if we can get this figured out. Thank you very much. Now, our last one kind of ties back to Ryan again here, but this is an application to maintain an encroachment from CWH Montana LLC, and this is for the storage of construction materials on the interior block park of Block 18 through 2026. And there is the map and the enforcement permit right for that packet. What is the pleasure of the council?
I make a motion to approve the application of the encroachment. You guys in the village. LLC, storage and construction materials on the interior park, Block 18 through 2026.
I'll second that.
I'm sorry, is that a motion to approve?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome, guys.
It's been moved and seconded. If we have any comments, Lisa, we'll start with you.
I would have suggested tabling this consistent with tabling of the second and third variance requests. I don't see a need to create an encroachment when there isn't an immediate need that I'm aware of. Maybe I'm wrong. Is there an immediate need for construction materials?
Can I answer that?
Sure.
Yeah, so my understanding is I can't open a business without this legal non-conforming, but I don't believe I'm precluded from like repairing dangerous sewer problems on the property, electrical problems on the property, or I believe even like some amount of demolition and stuff. So I believe we own the property. I believe we're allowed to do construction on the property. We're just not allowed to finish it and take it to being a hotel. That's my understanding.
Okay. So, I understood this to be an application for encroachment on town property. I mean, you're welcome to do whatever you want on your own property, and it's a full-size old town lot, so you should have plenty of room to maintain all of that on your own property.
Yeah, we don't really. We don't really, because the dumpster sizes are a bit large. It's kind of hard to tuck them in there. So I apologize. I was under the impression this was a somewhat typical request to utilize the public lot there when the construction project's happening, because you have supplies that get dropped off and then we got to move them into the property and stuff. So if that's not typical, I apologize, but that was my understanding. There was a comment to kind of ask for that as supplies come and go from the property.
So, well, it may be a typical ask according to town staff. I don't know, but I more typically hear complaints from residents of the community about people storing stuff and trash and debris on town property.
Yeah.
And I don't see a need to grant permission to encroach on town property unless there truly is a need, you know, something that can't be met by using your own property. And I that's just my...
Yeah.
My position on this. So thank you.
Jeff Matthews.
Yeah, I'd like to see a definitive time frame. You're basically asking for 14 months. So what months would we like to do this as opposed to leaving this open-ended for a year and 3 months?
Would it be more palatable if we did it in shorter increments? Obviously, we're doing some work now. We'll have to pause work while we navigate the zoning. So then we'll probably work pause and we'll pick up work again if we find a pathway forward on the zone. So I'm perfectly fine if you'd rather me do these in short increments, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if this is not approved, that would probably be a more palatable option.
Brian?
I have a hard time with this time of year doing encroachments because I do know that cement park gets hit very hard from the surrounding properties. I would like to, my opinion, you know, try and see, you know, try and get something on site and not knowing exactly, you know, construction materials or
yeah.
a dumpster, what actually it is.
Yeah.
the winter time coming, I have a hard time with doing a function on time.
I'm perfectly fine with drawing this, but we can go around it.
And I have a couple of thoughts, and this could be if anyone wants to change with an amendment or a secondary. I'm okay with it. I'd like to see some conditions put in place. One is to limit where the map, I appreciate it, but not the scale. But if we had something that's a little better as far as scale, but going by there, it seems like there's a spot south of the propane tank and just west of the property that is, I think, probably a reasonable place for something like that, in my opinion. Not that I really care, but. That there's a limit on where that location is. We're not going with the map. And then we've had this in the past, make sure that it remains clean, which in the winter especially can be difficult. Construction debris gets lost in the snow, and so that there's some condition of that. And then, as Brian mentioned, consideration of the snow park, snow removal is a big deal, and it can get in the way really quickly. So if we make sure that that is taken care of, and it would leave town staff to, I think, be able to help communicate that. I don't see that being an issue with some communication. And then I would definitely would like to see an end date. It can always be extended if there's a need, but I agree with Matthew. That's, it's a little too long. And I don't think you want to be there that long either. So yeah. Maybe with maybe an amended motion or a change to put some conditions. So just the feelings I have. So for that, we will go to the public. Someone else, no, say we'll come back from the round if needed. Anyone in the public have any comments or questions?
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment. Public Works Director John Brown. I just concerned with the snow again myself in there. I mean, we can work around you, but we just have to make a definitive line to make sure that we're in there late at night or in the morning moving a lot of snow. And I just don't want to be hitting anything, you know, that it may cause you grief and that's what as well. So mm-hmm. With that being said, I just want to make sure we have a affinity line in there.
Anyone else? Back to the table.
Question.
All those in favor of approving the encroachment application at 124 North Electric as presented, please say aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Chair holds nay. We'll ask you to work with the town and see if we can't get something that would be a little more palatable for everyone.
Sounds good.
All right. Ryan, thank you for being here. It's a lot on your plate. Thank you, everyone else, for being here. And thank you for putting in for a couple months.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate that. We will now go to Liz for meeting reminders and any other correspondence we may have.
Okay, so as discussed, our next town council meeting will be on the 18th. I've posted notice tomorrow that we will be accepting applications for the vacant town council seat, and we will accept those applications through 5 o'clock on Monday, November 10th. Tuesday, November 11th is a holiday. And then our next council meeting will be on Tuesday, November 18th. We'll schedule interviews based on the applications we receive for the time slot for the meeting. And then in December, our meeting dates will be December 2nd and December 16th. We have in years past gotten pretty light on that meeting right before Christmas, but it is a full like 9 days before Christmas, so don't think you're going to have really. We'll see what's going on. We are tentatively talking about a Christmas party on December 12th, but I don't think we have that scheduled yet. Yeah?
Well, it depends. We're going to talk in our staff meeting tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to talk about that tomorrow. So, Christmas party sometime. And I think that's all I have. Anything else?
Parks and Rec,
19th. I don't know
what that's called. Yeah.
Perhaps. I'm going to ask a question about scheduling.
Oh, yes.
Liz, are you, and this is going to hit John, because he doesn't even know about it. Are you going to schedule a snow plowing meeting?
where we find out what you're going to do and you tell us what we're going to do?
Sure. We can schedule it.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can do it.
And I would agree. I mean, we haven't had one the last couple of years, but I think with the new public works director, that maybe your philosophy could be shared. And these snowplow drivers love to come.
I'm bringing Casey on this. My husband's home. That's what I have. Yeah. Plow on and drive right over.
That's right.
It takes it really seriously. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. Thank you, Jerry. You're off.
Appreciate it.
I agree. Yeah.
All right.
It's just all no snow.
No,
what? No, no, I didn't say that out loud.
Lisa?
Hey, I got one. Listen, everyone here. This is a work map meeting on Thursday.
Yeah.
And that is at, no, it's next Thursday. Sorry, 13th.
Yeah,
I got a next Thursday at noon. And we've got some applications. There's more coming in for December. So there's some. Fun stuff coming down the pipeline.
And we canceled TBIDS meeting last month, and we're moving it out to December. We won't have a November meeting.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Thank you, everyone, for being here. Those who are online, and without objection, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.